Daniel Ings, or is it Dan?
Dan. Well, you know, I'm professionally I'm Daniel, but...
Does that get you more money?
Loads more, yeah. It's per, because I get paid per letter, so it's like it's twice as much.
Damn. Mm. All of a sudden, I'm very glad for my name Christian.
Yeah.
I might add some letters on.
You're going to elongate that.
Anyway, we're in kind of a... Well, let's not say. Let's just concentrate on you and not give any spoilers for the film we're doing today.
Short film, yeah.
I've seen your acting before. I was, if I may say, I was quite taken aback by it. It was a really beautiful venue that no longer exists.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're going back there, maybe. So they
destroyed it.
It has been destroyed now, is it?
I believe so.
Because there was a plan at one point for them to go back in, I think.
Where are we talking about?
Southwark Playhouse.
Yeah.
Which used to be these amazing tunnels, kind of vaults, weren't they? Under the, I guess, what would have been an old train line, basically. Yeah. And it hadn't been to where that is now in Elephant and Castle, I think.
And you were in Howl's Moving Castle, which was a production by Mike Sizemore again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike wrote the script, and we kind of workshopped it with the directors, Christine and Davey. And so I sort of worked quite closely with Mike then. It's nice to be back with, you know, back on Team Sizemore.
Is sci-fi a thing of yours?
Yeah, I love sci-fi. I mean, I'm not like an aficionado, but, I love my Blade Runner and Alien. Not such a fan of Prometheus.
Mm.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. A few people might agree with you.
Yeah.
So, how's it been going so far regarding getting to grips with the script, etc.?
For this one, well, it's kind of simple. I mean, it's a short, and I don't have an awful lot to do in it, so there's the one sort of scene of a little bit of dialogue, which...
You remember we can't give anything away?
Yeah, which I can't give anything away. And then some action stuff, which we haven't filmed yet.
Oh, lots of guns.
I'm sure will be fun, yeah. Yeah, so it's not a kind of... it's an easier job for me, but it's just nice to be doing it, yeah.
I love that. There was a scene where you, a moment ago, where you had to do kind of very little, but you were very seriously saying, what should I be thinking? What should I be doing?
No, that was a joke.
Yeah. I wasn't going to tell because, man, you take this seriously.
No, that was 100% a joke, yeah. No,
yeah, the problem is when Mike retorts, and it's there's so much fun, actually, watching everything. There's no shouting at anybody. Mm. No one's ballsed up massively yet, as in knocked over the gazillion-pound camera.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know when people are having a joke or just really enjoying
themselves. Oh, I see, yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool, man. I mean, I like doing short films, I think, because you can kind of experiment and learn and get to grips with stuff, but it shouldn't be an environment where people are... I mean, it shouldn't anyway, but it definitely shouldn't ever be an environment where people are getting shouted at.
So there's kind of freedom?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I mean, it's great for people like Mike to kind of experiment and get, you know, call in favours and see what you can do on a limited budget.
And this is, I guess, as well, this is where you build the story world as well. You know, short films leading to the graphic novels, leading to potentially a feature.
Yeah, I guess for creatives, you go, maybe if you want to make features, I suppose you do a number of shorts and try and get some traction and you know, I guess eventually lead to making a feature of some kind. And for everyone, I think, from sort of actors to writers and producers, it's good to be involved at that stage. So, you know, maybe later on you can kind of collaborate on bigger and bigger projects.
You're focusing a lot on TV at the moment.
Yeah, I am. I'm about to start rehearsals for a play next week. And then the rest of the year I'll be doing some TV. I did a couple of TV pilots last year, which are going ahead this year. So, but not through choice, more through just kind of what seems to come my way and the kind of people that want to give me a job.
How do people find you? Because you don't kind of tweet your every thought and every move. You kind of pull yourself, keep yourself to yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not famous, so I don't need to kind of publicise.
I recognised you when you walked in.
Yeah, well, that's true, but you've got a photographic memory, and we've met. Yeah, you've got a camera. I kind of think, when people make big movies and stuff, I can understand the interest in knowing what they're up to and that kind of thing. But for me, I just, you know, I have an agent and I go and meet casting directors and directors and stuff, and sometimes they offer me a job, and more often than not, I do it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I know that, I mean, speaking to people who are kind of in the public eye and do use social channels, they do it not just for the, you're interested in me, so I'm going to tell you about
me. Oh,
it's,
yeah,
I would like to be in control of the story more so. If you take, let's go for an extreme here. Stephen Fry, for an example. Why should he give a damn what anybody says in the newspaper? Because he can rectify it with a tweet that goes to millions of more people than the readership.
Well, I think that makes sense. And I think people that do what you do, you do a lot of travelling and you work in kind of extraordinary situations. And actually, it's cool to keep people in the loop. Do you know what I mean? Whereas for me, my life is just got on the Victoria Line. Just got off the Victoria Line. Just bought a cappuccino.
You've been reading my tweets?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go.
But this is a beautiful photograph of that cappuccino. That's where the humanity lies.
Well.
People are reminded of your existence and they say, I saw you in Howl's Moving Castle. And then, in this incredible sci-fi film, you may as well plug it.
This?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
This is written on the top of your script.
Yeah.
Merrick
Adams.
Merrick. See, Merrick. I even pronounced
it right.
Yeah.
Is it Mike? America.
Whatever. Mike's just walked in. He's got all nervous now. The director's here. How's it going? Looking warm.
Yeah, no, it's hot under those lights, but I wasn't doing much. I was just watching.
Yeah, we were trying to explain what was going on without explaining anything.
Yeah.
We just did the giraffe scene, right? The giraffe scene went well.
Yeah.
The babies in a box.
We have got babies in a box.
The babies in a box scene coming up next.
To be honest, we may have to cut the babies in the box scene.
Really? You're going for a different kind of rating.
Yeah.
But how are we going to explain the sequence on the moon without the babies in the box?
Continuity is going to go out the window.
Yeah, I love this seeding. This seeding. You can find out more about this on Merrick Adams, the hashtag, but also you could follow her. She swears a bit, drinks a lot, and tweets little, which is more than you, though, Sir Dan.
Yeah, she is busy. She's busy
doing dangerous things. I'm going to let you get back in. I think there's a couple more scenes to shoot, the babies on the moon stuff in a box. And what next for you?
After this, I start rehearsals on a play next week, a Tennessee Williams play, and I'm doing episode of a new BBC show called W1A, which is a follow-up to 2012, the comedy series.
How can people find you?
They can head to Clapton in East London, where I live, and watch me...
Don't get on the train.
Get on the Victoria Line with a cappuccino.
Or your agent.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, all that. Yeah, that's true.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right. Cool.